You're listening to episode 200 on the New Churches Q&A podcast.
200.
Yes, that is right. We have tried bringing all three of us back on the podcast.
It went so well in episode 100.
No, it's been 100 episodes. That's how bad it went. Well, we had to wait 100 episodes.
Ed just said it went bad. Or badly, sorry.
Badly, because I use correct grammar, but go ahead.
And we just found out that your dad listens, and we don't want him
your
to come
your dad listens
meet us
to
up.
The podcast, exactly.
Yeah, my dad does.
And I don't think any of my parents listen to the podcast, so.
Mine don't either.
Okay,
there you go. Kind of.
We got to email them and get them
that's
on.
That's true. I like it. I'm sure they're going to be very, very inclined after the 200th episode. But because 100 was a train wreck, let's see if we make 200 worse, a plane wreck.
Ed, you said it was a train wreck. I haven't heard that.
Really? I've had people. Well, your mom mentioned that it went really badly. So, no, I don't know. So, all right. Well, that's okay. I know we're going to have a great episode because first, I'm super excited. A lot of people didn't know that there are actually two people in addition to Daniel M on this podcast. Todd and Ed are doing this.
Yes.
I learned
Ed was the last one to learn.
I learned in episode 100. I said, how did we do 100? I thought we only did 50. He said, well, there's a whole other show that I do every other week. Oh, wow.
Yes. Okay. So these last 200 episodes.
I know it's your world and I'm just living in it.
Wow.
I'm just honored. In Ed's world.
I'm honored to be in your space. But you know,
Ed's world.
Party on. Excellent. Woo! Hey, listen, I am in a basement in Aurora, Illinois. So there you go.
There you go. And did you know Mike Myers, as in addition to being Canadian, his accent on Wayne's World was actually an Ontarian accent. Like, he really intentionally did not do an Aurora, you know, Illinois, Chicago accent. If you look back, he does not sound like a native Chicago in Chicago, right? They do that, Chicago. Can you do that, Ed? Do you speak Chicagoan yet? Or whatever you call it?
No, I don't. I don't actually do that. So,
all right. Anyways, let's get on in on this episode 200. It's fantastic as I've been looking at our statistics and just kind of the impact, the reach that we have had in these past 200 episodes. We're almost at 400,000 downloads, which is fantastic. I mean, it's really encouraging to see the different. I mean, Todd and I were recently in Australia, and Ed right now is with Scott Sanders from Geneva Push. And while we were down there, there's a bunch of people that listen to the podcast, and it's just really neat to see the impact that we're having globally through this little old podcast that we have. We're not big time like Ed being on the radio, but this is fun.
Wow.
Okay, but we do want to get in on episode 200, and I did want us to talk about what's next in church planting and multi-site, because those are really the two broader topics that we have on our podcast, church planting and multi-site. But before we get there, because this is episode 200, leading up to this, we've been talking about what kind of big thing we're going to be giving away. And as I look at our iTunes account, we have 124 reviews. So let's do this.
Wow.
The next 76 to review our podcast, so we can get to at least 200 reviews. The next 76 to review our podcast, we will give 200 New Churches rewards points to. All right, so that's $20 that you can use anywhere on our site. That's what 200 New Churches rewards points gets you. So the next 76 people, leave a review on iTunes, screenshot that you left that review and email it to me, daniel@newchurches.com, and we will get you 200 New Churches rewards points to use towards courses and everything else we have on our site. But let's get into our question, Ed.
And take a picture of your cat and send it to Ed.
DM no, Ed. No pictures of the cats.
He loves cats.
Yeah, ed@newchurches.com, right? No, that's not actually a real email address. So Ed, why don't you start us off? What do you think is next in church planting? And we'll kind of go back and forth. First talk about church planting, and then we'll go to multi-site.
Next in church planting. I mean, I think, you know, the future's here. It's just in different pockets. And so, you know, Reggie McNeil wrote a book a few years ago about called The Present Future. And so, I mean, I think ultimately what's next is more of what's now, but maybe some shifts. I think, for example, the growth of the nuns, I think the growth of the nuns will actually impact things, for example, You know, the idea that we would continue to have a large group of people, where
dressing in black and white.
No, where they
all want to be like Ed.
The nuns. Wow, the nuns. He's making a joke about nuns, Daniel. You didn't get the reference.
But you do dress in black and white, don't you?
Yes, I do. But I'm not a nun. I am not a nun. I don't have white. I just dress in black. Nothing wrong with that. So anyway, but my point is that the rise of the nuns really leads to a sense that there's not a religious memory to appeal to. And so where you don't have religious memory, you can't have like the big launch gets a lot harder when there's not some near Christian or kind of open people to do the large launch. So I think you're going to see more missional incarnational sort of approaches, more intentionality of that sort. So, yeah, I think ultimately that's coming. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think kind of the future of church planting is multi-site. I mean, more and more multi-sites are seeing themselves, they're using multi-site as a vehicle to plant new churches. And it may be, you know, that may corroborate with what Ed just said of it's getting harder and harder to find those larger groups to launch. And what better way to do it than to siphon off from an existing body and have a localized expression.
Yeah. And actually to flip that, I also think the future of multi-site is church planting.
Savage. So tell us what you mean by that. You know, Tim Keller, I talked to Tim Keller last week on this radio program, and he explained that they're going to have three churches. So is that what you're talking about? Is where like the multi-site splits off or multiplies off and now there's multiple different churches?
Yeah. Part of it is the capacity that an individual has to even handle the complexity of multi-site. So I feel this is what typically happens, right? Your church is growing. They're like, oh, we're maxing out our auditorium. We either need to move to a new place or we need to start another service, right? I mean, that's the typical first conversation that happens for a church planner or a church that's growing. And then they're like, oh, you know what, this church down the road did multi-site, or we went to a conference and, oh, we should do multi-site like them. And maybe another, if they're listening to someone else, they're like, oh no, we should do church planting. But for a lot of churches that start out in multi-site, they do that. And then they're like, oh, why isn't it going the way we think it should be going? But it's because they have not actually thought through the values that make them who they are. They don't know their DNA as a church as a result in terms of multiplying. For multi-site to work really well, there needs to be that alignment. Those conversations need to happen. So what's actually better for that church, unless they have those clarifying conversations, it's better actually to release that campus off as a church plant. It'll actually be more efficient for everyone involved and less painful for everyone involved, yet you're still moving towards multiplication. Now, I'm not saying that all multi-site churches should shut down their campuses and move them to church plants, but I am saying that multi-site churches that have kind of stumbled into multi-site and kind of stumbled into not really thinking about, oh, should we do campus issue? And they've just kind of done it because other churches have done it. They should consider possibly spinning those off.
It's almost like a little mini neo-denominational, I don't know, thing that's starting to happen.
Wow. A neo-denominational thing. So this level of articulation is remarkable, but it is nevertheless a neo-denominational kind of thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, in light of all of that, if we were to kind of boil it down, I feel like it comes down to the level of leadership, the level of capacity that an individual has, because for multi-site churches to work really well, you do need to have a system sinker. Now, recently we had Josh Patterson from the Village Church and Kevin Peck from Austin Stone Inn, and we were talking about multi-site and the future of both of the churches. And Ed, just like you said about Tim Keller stepping down from being the lead pastor at Redeemer and those campuses now being their own autonomous churches. I mean, that's the direction that the Village Church is going. They already did that with Denton. They're going to be doing that with the other ones. And when we asked Josh, hey, do you plan on starting more sites after that? He was like, no, we want to release these all as church plants. Yet on the other hand, Kevin Peck was like, oh no, we're continuing with multi-site. So there's a lot of, I'm hearing more and more conversations of people saying, hey, if we do multi-site, we're actually going to start with multi-site and then transition, have a plan to transition them off.
Well,
as Stone
does both though.
Yeah. Just they definitely do both. I'm just talking about the campuses
and
they currently have
70 missionaries out from the church too.
Yes. Yeah.
Neo-denominational
thing. A neo-denominational thing. So kind of like that. I don't know. It's true. I think that's true. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm with you, baby. I'm with you.
Yeah. Now, what do you think next week at the time of this recording, we're going to be recording some sessions on bivocational church planting. We're bringing Hugh Halter into the studio to do a bunch of those. Ed, you're going to do one. I'm going to do a couple. And I mean, we're creating a course on new churches all about bivocational church planting. Ed, can you talk a little bit about that? Because those are actually the most downloaded episodes on our podcast.
It's interesting. I think bivocationalism is so much of the future, but it's also been so much of the past. I think it's sort of hidden church planting because, you know, when you're bivocational, you're working at the post office or working at Home Depot, you don't have time to go to the church plantapalooza conferences and things of that sort. So
this is true.
So I think ultimately, the iron, you know, these iron men is what I think I heard Kevin Ezell once call many of these church planters. And so these bivocational church planters, pastors, church planning teams, you know, men and women who are really serving bivocationally in these church planting roles, I think really, really are key, need to be celebrated more, need to be provided training more. That's why I'm excited we're doing this training. So yeah, I think that's a key part of the future. Now, particularly too, you know, if, you know, you and I recently talked to Alan Hirsch, and for our Plus members, Daniel. And in doing so, we asked him about, you know, what is the future? He talked about different ways of seeing the fivefold ministry. But, you know, almost all the ways he described involve bivocational ministry and mission. And I think ultimately that's the call that we've got to see more engaged. I remember planting my first church. I was blowing insulation, running a contracting company, and I was planting a church. And the freedom of doing that was a pretty remarkable and encouraging thing.
Yeah, that's good.
And I mean, too, I think more and more we're going to see, I mean, bivocational ministers are not junior varsity. And I feel like, I feel like a lot of people will either they almost put themselves into that category and shouldn't, because they are iron men, they are heroes. And I think that that is going to be addressed in the very near future, where currently for maybe the last decade or so, it's been, you know, kind of the sexy thing to be a church planter. And I think, you know, it's really going to shift into that bivo category will be that next thing.
I feel like what's tied to that is the kind of the diminishing of the superhero church planter or the superhero pastor, the one person that has all the giftings that can preach off, you know, that's an amazing preacher. Because part of it is podcasts. I mean, you are currently listening to a podcast, and the most downloaded podcast in the Christian category are sermons, right? And every one of our parishioners, as every one of our congregants, as they're increasingly connected to podcasts, because every year the number of downloads keeps on going up just across the board, they're listening.
2%. I read the, everybody thinks Nielsen, they think of TV, but yeah. I was looking at Nielsen last week, the latest quarter, and year over year, audio downloads have gone up 72%. Now that's
crazy.
A lot of different categories, mm-hmm. but one of those major categories is podcasts and sermon downloads and things like that.
So to try to identify and find those unicorns, right? Those people who are those they can do every single thing really well is going to be increasingly difficult. So I feel like with the diminishing of that superhero type of church planter, you're going to actually have more and more teaching teams. That's what I feel like is coming up in the future. What do you guys think about that?
I think so. I think so. That makes sense. I think ultimately, for a lot of people, that shared responsibility is going to come from this bivocationalism. So, you know, I think there's a great freedom when it's not just, you know, the sage on the stage, but there's a group of people who are kind of sharing this with other people as well.
Yeah, exactly. Now let's shift to multi-site for a bit. We hit on it a little bit earlier, but Todd, what are some of your thoughts continuing on about the future of multi-site?
Well, again, one of the things that I think that's most interesting is you're beginning to see rural multi-site come into play.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think in large part, that's due to the fact that you have less and less people going all the way through, you know, vocational ministry training. You have churches that are shrinking and people moving to, you know, larger churches. But I think a lot of these larger churches are beginning to be approached by some of those smaller churches that they may, you know, they may have a building that's paid for and money in the bank, but they, you know, they're down to basically a small group, and they're looking for someone to come in and revitalize their church and their community. And I think that's going to be, that's going to continue to grow, I think, bigger and bigger as we go forward.
Yeah, I feel like that ties together with the whole in software development. I mean, we're talking about, I mean, I talk about software development because we have an application called Ministry Grid, which is a learning management system, part of New Churches, Lifeway Leadership, and all that we do here. But we talk about that because we have this phrase called minimum viable product, right? We talk about the idea of agile sprints, the idea that, hey, we're not going to develop something for 2 years and then show it to the world, but we're going to develop something and in a week we're going to make changes and show it. And in another week we're going to make changes and implement it. And this whole idea of, hey, instead of spending millions of dollars and then releasing it, how about you do a little bit and then test it and refine it and keep on going on. So I feel like with multi-site, traditionally it's been, hey, let's drop $500,000, $1 million to do a new campus, not knowing if it's going to succeed or not.
Yeah.
And I feel like the future for multi-site is saying, okay, what? How can we bring this agile methodology in? How can we kind of start small and continue to test the waters to see if this is a good investment in time, resources, vision, and
all
that?
One of the big things that we wanted to do was to say, hey, any organization over the course of time, especially a church, will not drift towards simplicity. They drift toward complexity. They continue to add more and more things. So we were just with our friends over in Australia, and they use the 5 M's there, which is basically purpose-driven model.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing that was coming out of the conversations was that, hey, there's been things that are all well and good that have been added to one of the five, but we haven't stopped any of those things. So 10 years ago, we added this because it was good and it fit with one of the five. And I want to start these new three things this year. And they all, you know, they all fit with one of the five.
Yeah.
But the reality is you cannot go out and duplicate everything that you're doing at a church that's been going for a long period of time and is able to sustain all that. And one of the mistakes people make is going out and trying to replicate everything that the church does instead of the bare essentials. And I think that's what you were getting to with minimum viable.
Definitely.
So what would that be? Tell me what the minimum viable is when you're looking at a biblical community. Go Daniel.
I think either way. So this is good because this is a podcast on church planting, multi-site, multiplication, and whether if you're a church that, and I feel like this will be a good wrap up for all of us. And I'd love for each of us to share a closing thought. But as we look at the kingdom of God, right? As we look at the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few, as we see that, and you're a church who your service is packed out, maybe you have multiple services and you're thinking, should we go church planting or should we go multi-site? I feel like the very first step is to develop a core team that's either going to go and plant or either going to go and be a campus, and to actually develop local leadership, people who are full in on that area and want to be there and want to reach the lost in that area. I feel like that's the very first thing, whether you're going to go multi-site or church planting. Any closing
Todd,
thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay. Todd, no,
closing
next.
Thoughts. No, you're next. No. No, I want to go after Todd. I insist.
All right. Ed's being polite.
No.
Just sure you're
polite
sure.
The whole time. This is unlike Ed. What did you do to Ed?
I'm at Moody Church. When I'm at Moody Church, I stand in the shadow of all these great pastors. I have to be more godly. And so this is a good thing for me.
All right, Todd, you're next. What are some of your closing thoughts? 200 episodes. What is something that you want to share with our audience here?
I mean, everybody already knows my passion. What gets me up in the morning is thinking about developing leaders and the people around me. And that's our number one job as pastors. If you know, we can't get past Ephesians 4 and understanding that our legacy is likely not going to be something that we do, but someone we develop. And recognizing that the example that I was given is my dad, who doesn't listen to this podcast, but is a bivocational minister in the middle of nowhere, Kentucky.
I didn't know that. I didn't know your dad was a bivocational pastor. Oh, that's totally cool. Yeah.
He'll continue to baptize five or six a year in a church of, you know, 100. And that's not because somebody was born and, you know,
that's amazing.
Like older people come to Christ. They just folded in part of another church that kind of left under weird circumstances. Like, it is amazing to watch him lead. A lot of what I learned in leadership, I learned by watching my dad at a very small church. That's a cool. lot of those principles actually scale.
Yeah.
but the big thing there is to watch his ministry and to see, you know, not every year, but the guy has multiple, I don't know if it's double digit, but it's getting close to it. If not, guys who have gone into vocational ministry under his leadership.
That's cool.
So half of them being from my family, but it's really interesting to watch, you know, a guy come in, begin to, you know, meet with him after the service. And then, oh, suddenly they're spending more time, you know, with him outside the church. And 2 years later, they take on an interim position in one of these, you know, other churches that's without a pastor. And
yeah.
I mean, it just goes on and on. And I think that, you know, my dad's not the greatest speaker in the world. He's not the greatest. It just, you know, pick a category, but what he is really faithful, and he definitely invests in those people. And if nothing else, I think I've learned that from him. And one of the things I would want us to carry on is that legacy of saying, hey, you are here because someone else invested in you. That may have been an intentional, you know, well thought out relationship, or it just may be the two or three men or women of God that you look back and you're like, wow, I don't know why this happened or how this happened, but we were in a relationship. I would say, how much more powerful would that be if you formalized that relationship?
Yeah, that's true.
How much more powerful would that be if you even set goals around that and to say, I'm always going to be, you know, developing someone around me, and I'm always going to be releasing, you know, those people to do work.
Right. That's awesome. And Ed,
I don't even have to respond. That's so much better than anything I would say. you know, what a great godly legacy. I want my kids to speak of me in that way. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so it's a different world. But anyway, you know, I guess for me, you know, I kind of think of the privilege we have that there's actually three of us on this podcast, which again was news to me 100 episodes ago. But praise God that we are, because I mean, ultimately the difference we're able to make to speak into, you know, 400,000 downloads, thousands of people listening to every episode. And I just want to encourage you, if you're a listener, obviously you're at this point, you are a listener, but just encourage you that this work is a holy work. It's a work that requires us to lean in on growth and prayer and trusting Jesus. It's not simply the machinations of how to organize this or how to reorganize or create or entrepreneur this, but it ultimately is godly work that's done by men and women who love Jesus, who are shaped by the Gospels and by the Gospel itself, and who ultimately live on mission. So my encouragement to you is to draw close to Jesus. You know, as we took a 200 episodes, draw close to Jesus, minister out of the overflow. And that means to, you know, him so deeply that you share with others what God has actually done in your life and the change that comes from that. Minister out of the overflow and ultimately make it your aim. You know, Count Zinzendorf is quoted ironically with saying, preach the gospel, die and be forgotten. The irony is that we actually remember he's the one who said that. But again, I think it's a great thing for us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Our podcast here to help you so that you might preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten along with us so that we might all make much of Jesus. So thanks for the privilege we have to serve you through these podcasts. And we're just honored that you would take the time to listen.
Ed, you know, I think you being the interim at Moody has changed you. Wow. Like that was really good.
That was pastoral.
That was pastoral. Wow. Surprisingly.
This is the way... than I normally am, except when I get on this podcast with you. Scott, they're actually making fun of me saying the interim at Moody has changed me because now I'm more pastoral. So sorry. All right. I got another guy in the room here, but you can't hear from him.
No. So thank you. Thank you again for making this a part of your rotation in podcast listening, for listening all through to 200. And be sure, because the next 76 people who leave a review for us on iTunes will get 200 new churches rewards points. Just be sure to screen capture your review. Send it to me, Daniel@newchurches.com, and we will get back to our recorded questions on episode 201. Thanks for listening in.